TGIV.
TGIV, Mario.
Just saying.
TGIV.
TGIV.
TGIV for sure.
Thank God it's Viernes.
This is the Mario Solis Marriage Show on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Actually, in Puerto Rico, we used to say Viernes Social, which means it's Social Friday. But don't take a Social Friday attitude when you're out on the hot freeways this evening or in your local neighborhoods either, because it's snowing blue hail outside. So be careful. And Rick tells me that I'm so used to working with Turk that I said John. But Rick tells me that it's lightened up outside, so that's good. I mean, it's the last gasp of the sun, so be careful out there. It's 6:06. I'm Aaron, filling in for Mario. I grew up in Colorado, so I know whereof I speak, of Colorado spring snows. It's basically an open hour. We're talking about whatever you want to set the table with. I set the table with the torture memos, with whether or not the president is doing the right thing by not prosecuting the CIA agents who are executing the Bush administration's criminal instructions from on high at the Justice Department. We're also talking about whether or not that was a weighty decision, whether or not the president made the right one. We're talking about severe pain intent, whether that should always be banned no matter what, whether anything is to be gleaned from torturing, why the United States of America, even though we have such a wonderful constitution and a great free country, why we still persist in being so violent? Is it we're on the cusp of the anniversary of Columbine, and we have a murder trial going on in Greeley that is quite spectacularly ugly. 303-713-7600. Kevin in Boulder, thank you for waiting through the break. I appreciate it. Welcome.
Good evening, Aaron. This is Kevin, the Boulder Liberal.
Yes, thank you.
I wanted to comment on the whole torture thing. I grew up during the whole Watergate thing, and when Nixon was pardoned, I was really disillusioned with that, and I didn't vote until 30 years later for John Kerry. And the number of first-time older voters this year goes to show that I probably wasn't the only one. And Naomi that was right. They needed to prosecute all of them, but especially they need to investigate, indict, and incarcerate Bush and Cheney, or else the kids of today will be disillusioned like I was in 1974, and it might take them another 30 or 40 years before they decide to vote.
I was sort of like John Stewart. It only made me determined to make fun of the people who would abrogate that kind of use of power. It was Sam Ervin who I was thinking of who led those hearings. You know, it was amazing to me. Do you think we could have any of those kinds of hearings? I mean, I saw some of the bankers hauled up before the legislature recently. I've seen a number of things happen. But I wonder how much of the rest of the country sees that. You see, we have spectacles now. We have Fox News organized teabag revolutions, which are ridiculous in their shallowness and stupidity and racism. So, you know, I don't know whether we could have sober, serious moments like that, in part because we've become so fractured as a country. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I empathize a lot with what you're saying. I mean, in some ways, Watergate motivated me to become more of an informed citizen and to participate more. I understand your disillusionment. I just chose kind of the mirror opposite of that course. However, I think one of the things that scares me with all of this is what you're talking about, is that if we do not call people into accountability for what they've done, we are doomed to repeat this over and over again. And so I understand what you're saying, but at the time, the country is also in a very terrible time economically, and should we be devoting our time to this right now?
Well, it comes down to the basic question of can you walk and chew gum at the same time?
And yes.
We've all been led to believe that President Obama can do that, and let's hope that people push him towards holding Bush and Cheney to account, because that's the only one way it's going to happen, is if we make him do it.
Well, I've heard that some of the analysis that I've read makes a big deal, and I don't know whether this is apt or apropos, but has made a big deal of that neither he nor Holder specifically said that this prohibited any kind of what word am I looking for here? Further prosecution of the people at the higher up.
Yeah. Well,
do you know what I mean? Or prosecution of them, I should just say, not for
kind of shot themselves in the foot in that whenever people investigate drug gangs or the mob or whoever, they always start with the low-hanging fruit, bust them, put the squeeze on them, get the information out of them, and they work their way up the chain and build a whole chain of evidence all the way up to the top.
Well, but here
by,
we know. Here
by
we know.
Giving those guys at the bottom amnesty, they may have compromised that investigative ability.
I don't know whether I agree with that because of these memos. You see, they're sort of like the tape recording. Yeah, the tape recording of Richard Nixon in the Oval Office. You know what I mean? These memos, and again, I'm so annoyed that I can't call them up right here online. But these particular memos by Assistant Attorney General Jay Bybee to John Rizzo, who are general counsel, they laid out in clear language that to violate this statute, an individual must have the specific intent to inflict severe pain or suffering. So you see, they set in a catch-22 anyway.
Right.
So I think they're more liable because what they did was they set out the means to inflict the severe pain and suffering and then gave the agents an out by saying, well, we didn't mean to cause
right.
them
we were
severe
just told
pain.
To do it.
I mean, how do you not cause somebody severe pain when you're banging their head up against a wall? I'd like to know that.
Really?
I'd also like to know, how do you not cause a person severe pain when you are when you're pouring water down their open throat? You know, I mean, how are you not doing that?
I agree. And the point I think is that those memos weren't written just because those guys felt like
writing them.
They were told to write them and what to say.
Well, and they may be the low-hanging fruit that we could go after because their work is set in black and white. Their words are in stone. Now, who told them to write them?
Well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's where you follow the trail back up the chain, the food chain to David Addington and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and George W. Bush.
Right. You're just starting farther up the food chain. But
yes, you're starting midpoint up the food chain and ignoring the grapes at the bottom.
Right. And at any rate, I understand the teabaggers in Denver had a good turnout, and those corporate tools want to be suckers whining about losing the election. Let them whine.
I still can't get enough of the double entendres. I'm still 12. I don't care. I will still laugh at those double entendres. You know, part of the charm of the extreme right wing is that they had no idea what teabagging meant. And so you'd see all those blissful looking right wingers going, we're going to teabag and we're going to be teabaggers on Wednesday. And you're like, oh my God, I can't believe they're saying this. Okay, go to the Urban Dictionary, dudes.
The other thing I was going to say about that is back when I originally learned about that terminology, it was done in the reference to someone sleeping and to them against their will or without their knowledge.
I've heard of that knowledge, too, but that's not on the Urban Dictionary, but that's the way I originally heard about it, too.
That was from like 15, 20 years ago, so maybe the definition's
I don't know, maybe
altered,
it's morphed.
At any rate, it's hilarious.
No, it is hilarious. It is hilarious because they are so sad. That's why it's funny. It's because they are just, they're just nitwits. They do all these things and they think they're being so clever and they, you know, they organize this thing. They don't even understand. What I loved was, did you see The Daily Show last night? They had John, they had their British correspondent go out and talk to all of the protesters in New Jersey. And he was asking, like, do you know what the original, Tea Party was about? And they, of course, had no freaking clue. But then he said, I'm resentful as a British person why you didn't realize that we were some of the best torturers ever. Have you ever heard of thumbscrews? And they were like, what? And it was like, have you ever heard of thumbscrews? And they were like, and so he told him, he goes, we actually screwed down thumbs. We really tortured people. How dare you suggest that Obama is torturing people? These people aren't torturing people. They're amateurs. It was like really funny. It was terrible, but it was really, really funny. And what was worse was the amount of people who had absolutely no idea about the original one or nor what it was about. It's just
That just goes to show you their general overall cluelessness to begin with.
Yes, well, and the
They're
racist
not on
this, signs.
Living on the same planet as the rest of us.
Yeah, the racist signs were my favorite. That was the disturbing, really scary part, to know that white supremacists and racists still around and ready to be obvious about it. Thanks for your call. I'm Erin Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Were you disillusioned by Watergate as Bruce was? Do you see? Because I was motivated. I wanted to change the world as much as I possibly could. I admired the journalists who went after them so much that I tried to follow in their footsteps a bit. And then I realized that probably being more of a pundit-y type person was more suitable for me. I also like radio. I just love 303-713-7600, and that won't change no matter where I live. 616, I'm Erin Hart. This is Colorado's Progressive Talk. It is now time to highest traffic with Scott Boylan, who's been keeping tabs on the storm and its impact on our traffic. Bob has a foot of snow in his backyard, and it's still coming down. Woo! And Carrie wants it to stop snowing already. Darn it. 303-713-7600. It is, Colorado's Progressive Talk. We're talking and about torture, about the murder trial up in Greeley. We're talking about a lot of different things this afternoon, and so we should on a snowy, blustery, cold, freezing, snowy. Oh, let's face it, who likes spring snow, really? It's like, it's over now. Can we have our flowers and grass? It's 620. And it's Marilyn in Park Hill. Welcome, and thank you for joining us on Mario's show.
Hi, it's Marilyn here. I haven't heard you since KOA. You used to be on KOA a long time ago.
You're right. Back a ways, yeah. My friend. Thank you for remembering me.
You were wonderful then, and you're wonderful now.
Thank you so much, Marilyn.
I just have a question. I have not. I read the paper, and I've been following the little Angie trial. I have not heard the gay community come out. Where are they? I am so disappointed. They should. This is a transgender thing, but come on, you guys. I am really disappointed.
You haven't seen them come out in a big way about this trial at all?
I mean, look at what happened in Laramie. I mean, the whole
That's
country
true.
Came out.
That is true. That is true. Matthew Shepard, you're right.
Yes.
I mean, I that was when I actually moved from Colorado up here, and I drove by Laramie on the day it was happening. How eerily is that?
Clue.
Very sick and sad. Is it because she was a transgender, a transsexual?
I don't know.
Do you think?
I keep reading these things, and I keep saying,
have we become immune to this kind of evil?
Gosh, please no! I don't want to hear that.
I don't.
We have so many other things that we've become immune to.
Is it because she's Latina?
In Weld County.
Weld
I
County.
Don't know.
Yeah, I was just telling Rick that I grew up in Weld County, and three of the most racist remarks I've ever heard in my life were about Latinos in Greeley.
Pretty consistently, yeah.
Yeah, pretty bad.
I don't think that's too far from the truth, but I don't think that's all of it. They're just too. I mean, my gosh, the gay and lesbian community is all over. They're everywhere. I mean, there's gays, not gays. There is blacks. There's Latinos. It's like us. It's
gay,
all over
lesbian,
the place.
Transgender, but in name only. Then,
yes.
Huh?
Transgender is not necessarily well represented.
Huh.
I don't think.
Well, and that's a good thing to point out. I hadn't realized that was the case, and so if it is gay, I mean, I know her family spoke up today at the trial in her defense, saying that, she did not mislead people and that she brought boyfriends home all the time. It's really sick that they're being forced to address that particular issue. Anyway,
yes.
That's like asking a rape victim, did you bring boys home a lot? Nobody ever, you're not supposed to be able to bring up your sexual history of anybody ever.
I know.
In a murder trial, it's particularly heinous, I think. It's gross. And maybe those are some of the kinds of things that should be mentioned here, I would suppose.
Well,
it may be because, but since they do align themselves as a community, You know, oftentimes, what I believe, anyway, I don't mean to speak for, I'm not transgender, so I'm not entirely sure, but I do believe that they think of themselves, because their only impediment is physicality, because they think of themselves as a female, right? Mm-hmm. They don't see it as a homosexual relationship. They see it as a straight relationship. Do you see what I'm saying? Then again, gay, lesbian, transgendered, bisexual community tends to align itself, so why... if they have not stood up, and you just haven't seen this anywhere in the press, not the Greeley Tribune, not the Denver Post, not anywhere?
Oh, exactly right. And wow. I'm neither gay nor transgender. I'm
You're
straight.
You're just noticing.
But I'm progressive.
Exactly.
And I want to know, where's the gay community? I've supported you guys for so long. Where are you guys with this?
Well, let's ask that question, Marilyn, and see if we can get some answers. Thank you so much for posing that question. I appreciate it. And thank you for being a listener since I was on a baby talk show host on KOA. Wow. 620, that's one of my first incarnations on talk radio, actually. 624, I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. I would love to talk to you on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. This is a big issue. This is an issue that hits home in many ways, because absolutely no one, male on female violence is a sick and sad, Sirota talked about today about the United States being violent, and about how sick and sad that truly is. But here's what's also sick and sad. And that is that male female violence, which goes on every single day in this country, it's still acted as if it's no big thing, and that's a problem. That's a real problem. And I know that women come in. We have that woman teacher who just killed an 8-year-old girl, allegedly, and that's pretty frightening, too. So I'm not saying women don't murder and that women can't be child abusers or anything else, but it is more unusual. Rob in Highlands Ranch, thank you for joining us on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good afternoon.
Aaron, how are you? Nice to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm very glad you called, Rob. What's up?
Hey, so on Obama's thing, I agree with him not prosecuting the agents. That would have been a mistake. It's like prosecuting the soldiers that at Abu Ghraib when it was really all the upper rank that should have gotten it. You know what I mean? So I agree with that part. But then I don't see why he released the memos, because you release the memos and it makes everybody say, oh, my God, what a crime. This is terrible. We should prosecute. So I think he shouldn't have released the memos. But I agree that not to prosecute the
You mean
the
so it's
agents.
Okay if we do it in the dark and nobody ever knows? That scares me.
I don't want to do if that's the implication of what I mean, then I don't agree with that. I don't mean we do it in the dark, but he should have said something like, look, there were crimes committed, but because, it was legal at the time, at least under those memos, it wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be fair. But from now on, we're not doing this, But I think releasing the memos just inflamed the situation, I think, unnecessarily.
See, I think he did the hard thing, which he is apparently want to do, and I kind of admire him for that, even when I don't agree with him, is he took the roughest road, which was to tell the truth, to be forthcoming and transparent about the wrong-headed actions our government took and the criminal actions, criminal actions our government took. But he didn't punish the people at the bottom of the food chain. Now, they did leave it open, as far as I read their words, that there could be prosecution of the people who gave the orders. I'm not sure that will actually happen, but we'll see.
Right. Same thing. Hey, can I make a quick point on the murder?
Sure.
Real quick. How can we call ourselves a Christian nation, right? When something like this happens, and whether it's transgender or black victim or white victim or Hispanic victim, and then you don't hear a peep from any of our churches, whether it's Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, Muslim, you name it. Why aren't the religious groups saying, hey, we're all human beings. We cannot do this to each other.
We're all God's children. You know, I don't think of us as a Christian nation. I think of us as a pluralistic nation.
Well,
but I understand what you're saying. We've got to stand up for the least of us. And that means the people that nobody else likes, whether it be a torturer or the tortured. And that may be part of the point, and why maybe that will be the beginning of us resolving our violent tendencies. Who knows?
Oh, gosh, I hope so. Hey, Aaron, thank
Me too.
You. Good luck, okay?
Be safe out there, Rob. I'm Aaron Hart. It's 6:29. We have a lot of questions on the table, and it's getting more philosophical by the minute, which I love, as those of you who listen to me over the years have known. I like to wrestle with angels and hard questions. So Roger on his cell phone, hang in. I do want to cut to traffic because I don't want to give you short shrift, because I want you to be able to have your piece to say on gender violence. Here are the numbers to call: 303-713-7600. This is Mario's show. I'm Aaron Hart filling in, and I'd love to talk to you about the issues we've raised on the torture memos, on gender violence, on the terrible murder trial that's going on in Greeley, Colorado as we speak. This is the Aaron Hart version of the Mario Solis Madit Show on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. And here is Scott Boylan with the traffic. Lisa alerts us that MSNBC has a poll to say how the president is doing the first 100 days, and a lot of right-wingers are apparently trying to stack the poll as an F. So go to MSNBC and even it out a little, would you? It's 303-713-7600. But vote how you really think. Roger on a cell phone. Welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good afternoon.
Hey, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good. Roger, you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, driving around in this crazy weather.
Are you safe? Are you talking while you're driving now?
Yeah, I'm on a side road, so.
All right, be careful.
I will. Right. Hey, you know, when it comes down to this whole domestic violence thing, you know, I got to remind everybody on the right who, you know, loved Sarah Palin and everything else and thought she was such a great feminist, stuff like that. The guy that she just brought up for AG.
For Attorney General, right?
Yeah, for the AG in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some very interesting thoughts. Like, I believe he was quoted as saying, well, if a guy can't rape his wife, who can he rape?
Oh, dear.
And also
goodness.
Saying that the government should not be able to tell him what he can do to his wife or his children.
Oh, because they're his property.
Exactly.
How novel.
And that's where the whole stupid thing comes up from, with the domestic violence, in my opinion. Neanderthals out there, particularly on the right, who think that women are their property.
Well, think of anybody as property is a trashy way to go about your life, as far as I'm concerned. That it's just wrong. It just flies in the face. See, and this is part of the problem. And what we're pondering off and on all night tonight is why are we so bloody violent? You know, I first got asked that question on a cross-country train ride I was taking by an Irish guy who looked at me and he said, I love your country. It's so lovely. He said, but why are you so bloody violent? And I felt like going, and you're from Ireland and you're asking me that? But
yes,
per capita,
right.
We still kill more people. So it's like, I couldn't answer him then. I'm not sure I have a better answer now.
Well, I mean, I come up with a couple of things on that. One is we're still a very young country as far as the world's concerned.
True.
And two, we do have an awful lot of mixing of cultures and things like that. So there's always been somebody around to hate, you know.
Oh, boy, I hate to think that. You mean we're just waiting for the new people to hate, like the parodies in Mad Magazine used to say? Maybe. I think some of it has to do with the dog-eat-dog. You know, I'm for capitalism with a heart, I guess. I know that sounds like compassionate conservatism, and I don't mean to sound like that, but I do think that we are so... We're taught from almost birth to sort of run over everybody else and to just think of everybody else as the other. And if they're not good enough, so what? To hell with them. And I think there's kind of a dog eat dog kind of mentality that we have from childhood that is counterproductive to becoming good, kind human beings.
Well, that's very true. And, you know, a lot of that is, you know, built up by the corporations in this country. I mean, you just look at corporations and political parties. I mean, you know, if if you don't have somebody to hate as a political party, then, you know, hey, you know what's,
you mean
how
we didn't choose
people on, you know, to vote for me if I can't?
We didn't say yes, we can,
not
we can't. We didn't say yes, we can, and go for hope, not for fear and ignorance and everlasting dumbness.
Well, we did, but still, it was only 53% of us.
Yeah, well, at least there's 53% of us now, I guess.
Which is a hell of a lot better than there was.
Maybe. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. It's 303-713-7600. We're sort of peeling back the curtain of snow, which I gather has picked up again hugely, according to Rick. He says the snow has picked up huge again. So he's watching it fall at our studios, and which I can't see from here. It's 6:39. I'm Erin, and I'm filling in for Mario. I'd love to talk to you about whatever you'd like to talk about. If you need to, you know, moan about the storm, if you want to talk about violence and talk about Columbine's anniversary, which is coming up on Monday, if you'd like to talk about the torture memos or the death of Angie Zapata, give us a call, 303-713-7600, or anything I perhaps have not or neglected to mention. It's also Viernes Social, which means Social Friday, which means I'm going to go celebrate Shabbat, and I'm probably not going to go to services, oops, but I'm probably going to play a CD of Shabbat songs, dance around with the dog, light the candles, and keep packing, because I'm moving to Argentina for a while. 303-713-7600. I'm Erin, filling in for Mario on Colorado's Progressive Talk. Here's Scott Boylan with traffic.
Hey.
Hi, this is Erin Hart. The music has been outstanding today. Rick, thank you so much. It's 6:43, and it's snowing out. So come on in and sit down. Don't drive and talk if you can possibly help it, or be careful. And give us your thoughts on all kinds of... We're talking mostly about violence, I think. Does it beget violence? What do we do about it when we come up against it? How do we handle it as a society? Brett in Greeley, welcome to Colorado's Progressive Talk.
We still have the rain here, no snow yet.
You only have rain in Greeley?
Yes, we still, it looks like it's trying to turn to snow, but no snow yet.
Boo, it's still snaining, sort of, huh? Mostly rain?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. We are taught since we're young in America, you got to get out there and you got to get in there or else you're not going to get the job and this and that. And there was a disproportional amount of people from England that died on the Titanic compared to the Americans, and they wondered why. Well, when they told them to line up for the boats, the English people lined up for the boats, and the Americans just jumped in. So there was, we haven't been taught, we've always been taught to go out there, and you got to butt in line to get things done, or you won't get it done. And so it was interesting your last caller was talking about violence in America, and we're kind of an elbow out everybody else society, and so that was interesting that more people from England had died on the Titanic than Americans because we wouldn't get in line.
Well, yeah, and maybe, you know, I guess the saying that comes to mind when I'm thinking about it, because Mario frequently mentions things in Spanish, so I guess I will too. Quítate tú para ponerme yo, which is a saying in Spanish, which means I'll take you out so I can put myself in.
That is correct.
And that's kind of. I think we need to ditch that mentality quite often. I don't think it's a productive one to have as a society. I think we have to be more welcoming and more thoughtful.
And that I at least
believe that Barack Obama is. I do believe he thinks things over. I don't think this is a knee-jerk response. And I'm still wondering, though, why he made the decision the way he did, which is probably good. It's good to have, I mean, we should question our leaders' decisions, and we should not agree. Here's the other thing. I don't expect to walk in lockstep with every decision made.
Right.
I don't expect to have that happen. So maybe that's part of it, too.
I wish you would have left the door open a little bit more.
Well, me too. I mean, that's the part saying, you know, that is not to say that we will not prosecute if we discover, you know, that these things were done deliberately to give cover for illegal acts.
Exactly. And the thing is that when it was quite evident that the deaths had occurred and that we knew that so many things were going on, and to not just, I mean, that Dick Cheney, we should have went right after him immediately. But and I think he's waiting for the world to to come after him, you know, if we have some Nuremberg-type trials.
He better not go to Spain anytime soon.
That's correct. That is correct. Yeah. Well, I thought I'd just get that thought out there, and I'm with you wholeheartedly on the Obama decision there, and I hope you have a good day.
Thank you, Brett. Thank you so much for your call. Eddie in Littleton, thank you for joining us on Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal this morning about the memo and torture. And I guess my question to you is, you know, the congressional committees in charge of national security, according to the article anyway, were briefed starting in 2003 on everything. So are you saying that all the Democrats sitting on those committees and all the congressmen sitting on those committees should be brought up on charges as well? They sat
there
and agreed with everything.
Well, that's part of the problem with this, isn't it? That's part of the consequences of our actions. We had a madness. Here's what I think happened. A massive, horrible attack happened on the United States of America. Compared with the Civil War and other things, though, not the most destructive thing that's ever happened to us. But here's what we did. We did the same thing that we did in the Civil War, though. We suspended habeas corpus. We went after all kinds of abrogations of our Constitution in order to prosecute the so-called War on Terror, when actually a criminal interdiction and an invasion of Afghanistan may have sufficed, particularly if we had been able to arrest Osama bin Laden. But here's what happened. We became and we have to remember this in context, because you remember that the anthrax scare was right after that, too. Remember?
Yes.
That the powder went around and some idiot was sending that around from the United States. And so there was a kind of a madness, I think, that descended on Washington and on our legislative branch, and definitely on our executive branch. A madness that said anything goes, we'll kill whoever it needs to take, we'll just do whatever we can in the name of national security. That's what we're going to do. Now, unfortunately, they let a bunch of legal hacks, and I regard them as hacks, even though I'm not a lawyer, because I'm entitled, I have a right to my opinion. But Bybee and you and others, I think, were political hacks, and they had no idea of what they were doing. And they did it in order to cover the behinds of the CIA and other people. They also, you know, we know demonstrably that the Bush administration cherry picked the intelligence in a way to distort it to the Congress and to everyone else. So you can't fault.
I'm not talking about
pretty much anyone in this. No, but I'm saying that's the mindset. They were all convinced it was worse than it truly was by people who were perpetrating that mythology and that kind of lie. So the problem started to me at the top, with Dick Cheney, with David Addington, with George W. Bush, probably in that order.
The article said there were less than 30 people affected by these so-called
torture
things. But I personally don't think it was torture, and I think it was worth it. When you measure that act against bombing Hiroshima or other things that happen in war, you know, war is not a pretty thing, and that's what I think we're in. And I'm, you know, I guess I weigh in on it was worth getting the information.
So what
do
you say to people like General Colin Powell and former Secretary of State Colin Powell, who say, if you do this, if you open the door like this, you're opening the door to us being tortured in similar fashion. And people saying, hey, we were just doing what you do.
I would say I disagree.
Oh, right. Because it's okay for us to do it, because
we're
exceptional. We're exceptional. We're American, so we're exceptional. Can't torture us because we're cool.
They are not entitled to the same thing that people under the Geneva Conference are accorded.
Once you suspend somebody's humanity, first of all, to say that they were just flat-out terrorists without any kind of proof. Now, I agree with you. Abu Zubaydah was. But I will say the same thing to you that I would say to brilliant legal minds like Alan Dershowitz, that once you say that the door can be opened to torture because you think it's a great idea for certain kinds of people, you're opening it up for everyone, full stop.
One question. When they go in and they drop these bombs in Pakistan, these bombs out of the sky and destroy houses in some of the terrorist areas, should we have lawyers go in there first and present them with habeas corpus? Or do you think that's okay?
I cannot. That's a good point to make, except this is close one-on-one, and the whole point of it is to stop attacks and to get information. And there are people in the FBI and torture, and people who are experts in espionage, who will tell you over and over and over again that these kinds of heinous tactics aren't worth a damn, and that there is no demonstrable proof that they have ever stopped any particular attacks in the face of what could have happened if we had used other means. So I understand the need for the bomb. The bombings are, is a more easy thing for me to understand, perhaps because it is more antiseptic. I understand what you're saying, and you're driving in a very good point, is when there are people further to the left than I would be, Rick, who would say, it's all torture, it's all bad. But I do understand going after terrorist camps. The problem is that once you start down this road, you better be able to accept the consequences. So, for example, if you had somebody who absolutely knew it wasn't a terrorist camp, but you bombed them just because they were Pakistanis, I'd say prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. The problem with our policy in this particular in these particular instances is sometimes we incarcerated people who definitely were not terrorists and just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and that should cause us eternal pause. Okay, and shame. And the reality is, I still go back to my original point. There is no evidence whatsoever that this particular tactic works. So why use it? Why demean yourself? Why diminish your constitution by doing this?
I watch a lot of the History Channel and see a lot of things that happened during World War One and World War
II. This isn't World War One. This isn't World War Two.
I'm just saying, war is not this clean little antiseptic thing that people like to make it out to be. And
I have a family that has fought in war since our country was founded on this continent.
I'm not judging your patriotism. I'm just simply saying that war is not this perfect little antiseptic ACLU world that people want to make it.
But I am absolutely grateful that the ACLU exists. We should know what is being done. And all this bunk, and I'm sure you agree it's bunk, that the torturers, now that they know what we'll do to them, that we won't be, it won't work anymore. That's nonsense, first of all. That's ridiculous. People have been surmising that they did this for years. So, and everybody saw Abu Ghraib. So we knew how far we could go in certain circumstances. And we didn't see the half of how bad Abu Ghraib was either. And believe you me, when those pictures come out, because some of them are much worse than have been shown already. Much, much, much worse. It's going to hopefully cause us pause and to examine ourselves. Yes, war is hell. But if you don't examine hell, then you're doomed to live in its seven circles for the rest of your natural existence. And that I do not accept, Eddie, at all. I hope for better out of all of us.
I just think it's the nature of war. Maybe I'm a pessimist, but I'm afraid that, again, watching the article on Hiroshima, the Iwo Jima, where they were shooting prisoners that they couldn't take with them. I mean, nobody wants to admit that, but that's what happens in war.
I have to go back to Isaiah. I really do. War no more. Let us war no more. And if that could be written 5,000 years ago, that means that people like me have been wanting this for a very long time. I'm not saying you don't. And by the way, a lot of the Bible is nasty, brutish, and short. It took me a long time to be able to accept its sexist qualities as well as its violent ones in a way to just look at it intellectually. But I understand what you're saying, and you raised some very good points. I thank you for your call. It's 6:54. I am way overdue for a traffic break. I apologize to Scott Boylan, and we're going to traffic right now. The ramp from 6:56, thank you all for tuning in. For all the years I've been on Denver Radio, I really appreciate it, and hopefully I'll figure out a way to be still on the air from Buenos Aires, my next gig, my next life, whatever. I'm going to change things up a little bit. I'm going to keep my house and rent it out and just sort of shake myself up a little bit. I think it's important to do that every 10 years or so. Lori, welcome. Thank you for joining us on Mario's show on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Yeah,
good evening.
I wanted to say it would be nice if our elected leaders, and I'm not talking about Barack Obama because I know he made some statements first going into the White House, but there are elected leaders here in Colorado and the Congress in D.C. should really identify with the American people by taking a pay cut. You know, the Colorado legislature just said we're going to cut back on this, this, and this, and state workers are going to have to take a take 8 days of furlough next year, but you know they're never part of the solution.
Isn't our legislature still part time though?
Well, I don't know, but they need to come up with something else, and the people in D.C. also need to do the same. But they're not willing to do it. You know?
Well, I'd sure like to either see them take a pay cut or use their stimulus spending on buying us lunch on days that we have to take furlough. I don't know. I understand what you're saying. I do. And I appreciate your sentiment, and I'm glad you called. Thank you, Lori. Look, our country is going to take a long time to get better. That's what I think mostly I'm thinking about this week as I watch the the teabaggers. And then I see this torture memo story. And I really do believe that we have to get to the bottom of this. I think we have to change. It's like we're all still sort of shaking off Stockholm syndrome, I think. And I really mean that. I really do. I think we had 8 terrible years of being under a dictatorship-style presidency that had absolutely no regard for our citizenship or our country or our Constitution. I think they thought they did. I think they mouthed the words. But I think what they were about was absolute power and wielding it as absolutely as they possibly could do it and doing exactly what they wanted most of the time because they thought they knew better than we did. And that's where you get into a lot of trouble right off the top. Oh, what a lovely note to end this show on. Thank you very much for the bells. Be careful out there in the snow. Take care. Hi, family. Hi, Christina. Hi, Steve. Hi, Hayden. Hi, Brennan. I love you. I'm Aaron Hart. For all of us here at AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk, I'm Aaron Hart, and I'm out for now. See you soon. Thanks, Rick.